Growing in Christ, the chief aim here at Abounding Grace. Join us. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in London. Our time together today will return us to God's Word and some casual conversations with our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon, that we might be encouraged in Christ, that we might grow in His grace. Won't you join us? Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, our teacher and Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us at Abounding Grace at the Ministry of the United Reformed Church here in London. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, again joined with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Canadian Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Wes, thank you again for being here with us. And this week, after looking at the marks of a true church, three of them, the preaching of the Word, the right administration of the sacraments, and church discipline, this week we're going to turn a little bit to the subject of worship. That, of course, has been a very sensitive subject in the Christian church over the past 20 years with the worship wars that have gone on, Wes, and the different views, oftentimes designated as conservative and liberal. Do you think that in and of itself can pose a problem when we designate worship in that way, just as so either we're either conservative or we're either liberal?
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago about the centrality of Scripture. I think the important thing that we have to consider is what is scriptural worship? What is biblical worship? And we should get away from conservative versus liberal. After all, what do those things really mean?
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes, you know, conservative means singing the old hymn because I'm familiar with it.
Exactly.
But technically, that hymn could be theologically wrong.
Right. Conservatism could be going back to the worship of the 1950s, which may also be unbiblical worship.
That's right. That's right. Or, and oftentimes, what I see at least is conservatism in worship is defined simply by what is familiar to me and what I've done for a period of years and what the church has always done, and always reacting to, of course, that which is new and progressive. And the crucial question that is often left out is, what has God said?
Exactly.
And that's what really we want to take up today on Abounding Grace. What has God said? I mean, surely on a subject, if I went into your house, Wes, and I said, I'm coming over to Wes's house, and you know, Wes, I want you to sleep out on the patio tonight. I'm going to take your bed, and I want you to have a meal ready for me in the morning, and I want to have this seat on the couch. How would you feel about that? It's not my house, is it?
No, exactly. I'd say, take a hike.
He'd say, take a hike. Well, and absolutely, that's absolutely right, because when we come into the Lord's house, He is God, we are not. He is the Creator, we are the creature, and therefore, He has defined how He wants to be worshipped.
And I find that interesting that you use the expression God's house, because I think today, in a lot of circles, people don't consider church to be God's house anymore. And that totally flies in the face of what the New Testament teaches us about the character of God's people today. Today, we often think of individual believers as being temples of the Holy Spirit. But in, I think it's in 2 or 1 Corinthians, Paul also refers to the church as being the temple of the living God. The church is the temple of the living God. And when the church is gathered together in public worship, God is there. It is God's house.
Yeah, unlike the Old Testament, now we are directly in the face of God. When Jesus stood up on to the woman at the well, and He said, look, no longer are you worshiping on this mountain or that mountain, but in spirit and in truth God is seeking such worshipers. That means that now we are in the most holy place in spirit.
Exactly. And that means that, you know, when we go to church and when we are involved in public worship, God is meeting with us in a special way, a way that you're not going to find by hiking up the slopes of Mount Baker or canoeing down the coast or whatever. God is meeting us in public worship in a special way, just as He was present in the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament temple in the tabernacle. So today, when He is meeting with God's people, He is present. Jesus Christ said, wherever two or three of you are gathered in My name, I am there in the midst of you. And I think people today don't take that very seriously.
Well, no, and I think what's been lost is a sense, and this is where when you begin a subject on worship, and I can see we're probably not going to get very far today because it's such an awesome subject.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, any beginning subject on worship has to start with the holiness of God.
Oh, absolutely.
When Isaiah dropped in Isaiah chapter 6 at the holiness of God, and he saw just a glimpse of the train of the glory of his robe. He fell at his feet as dead, exactly, and said, "Woe is me, I'm undone, for I am a sinner and dwell with sinners."
And what did he hear? He heard, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
That's right. Anything different in the New Testament? Even more so now that we are indirectly in the Holy of Holies, now, beloved, having this opening made way to you, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, to enter the most holy place through the blood of Christ, let us worship God acceptably with what? Reverence and awe, for he is a consuming fire.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's John saw in Revelation 1, same thing.
Right.
He fell at the Lord Jesus' feet as dead
and
when he saw him.
We have to take that so seriously, and we have to not be flippant about our worship. We have to realize that God is holy and mighty and awesome, and he is meeting with us. And that should blow our minds.
That's right. He has called us into his presence and desires us to worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth part of that is often what's neglected.
Exactly.
The spirit part is sort of today references, I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
But notice he connects that with the truth. What is truth? Well, the truth is what
thy is. Thy word is truth.
Thy word is truth. And
exactly.
So we come and we look at the word of God. What does the word of God outline for us? Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is this lingering principle that we find in the Old Testament. And we're going to look and see how this connects to the new. But you know, Wes, in Leviticus chapter 10, we have a very interesting account. Leviticus 10, we have Nadab and Abihu.
Right. Yeah.
Nadab and Abihu were the sons of Aaron. They were newly consecrated priests in this text. They'd just been consecrated. All the surrounding Israel is there. All the people, they're gathered around to consecrate these new priests. What an exciting day. It's a great worship scene. I mean, this is a worship service. And this is what we read. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered a profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them.
Exactly.
So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified."
Exactly. You know, and this principle that we find here in Leviticus 10, that Nadab and Abihu, they knew what God had commanded, but they decided to do their own thing and add to it, that flew right in the face of what God had said in Deuteronomy 12:32. "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it." The biblical principle of worship is that we are to worship God in no other way than what he has commanded us in his word. And that's a principle that we find not only in the Old Testament, in the first five books of the Bible, we find that in the New Testament as well. And if we go to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, "If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." And that what applies to the book of Revelation applies to all of Scripture. We cannot add or take away from it. It is to be sufficient for
right.
our lives, and especially sufficient for our worship of God when we gather together in public worship.
Yeah, they offered this profane fire which he had not commanded. You'll remember in 2 Samuel chapter 6, the very same thing happened, where David was carrying the ark back after the great defeat of the Philistines. And you remember in 2 Samuel 6, the ark was brought into Jerusalem. They were all dancing and praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, we read this interesting statement in 2 Samuel 6, verse 6. "And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God." He had touched the ark of God, which had been specifically commanded that no one touch, and
exactly.
It be specifically commanded how it be transported.
Right.
They had totally disregarded that. They put it on a new cart, probably a very beautiful cart
yeah.
for God. They did him a really nice mm-hmm. thing, I'm sure. And all it did was the oxen stumbled. Wasn't that reasonable? Let's stop it from...
Well, you know, Chris, what I think this passage really shows us is I think Uzzah had the best of intentions. He really wanted to do the right thing. But he didn't do the right thing according to what the Lord had commanded.
That's right. And that's the whole point we're driving at today. You know, and you referenced here a minute ago, Wes, this teaching, this notion today that when we come to the New Testament, we're sort of free, this idea out there that we're sort of free, and therefore those Old Testament principles that you only do what God has specifically commanded is not for the New Testament. And so, for instance, the early heretic Marcion taught that the God of the Old Testament was mean and cruel, and the God of the New Testament was nice, and therefore those Old Testament laws are just now out. How do we approach that when we come to the New Testament? Do we still have this same principle in view when we come into the worship of God?
The Bible is a unity. The Bible is one word of God. And so we would expect that the same God who sent down fire from heaven to Nadab and Abihu, well, he's the same God who destroys Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5.
New Testament.
Exactly. He has not changed. He's the same God who we heard about last week in 1 Corinthians 11, why people were sick and dying in Corinth, because they were not following the word of God when it came to the administration of the Lord's Supper and when it came to the administration of discipline within that church.
You know, in Colossians chapter 2, we read an interesting statement, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ." And then he'll go on at the end of that. He'll say, "For these things indeed have the appearance of wisdom in," listen to this, "self-imposed religion." That is self-imposed worship.
Exactly.
Literally.
Right.
So people are imposing their own views and their own desires in worship. And the Lord warns us and says, beware of that.
And I think what people need to do when they walk into a church and they're in a worship service and they see what's going on there, the question they have to ask is, where is this commanded in the Word of God?
Right. And the course with the principle of Hebrews chapter 12, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may worship God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." We do that when His word is central, when the word is being faithfully preached, when there's proper, we'll get into later, dialogue. But anything else you want to add, Wes?
Yeah, also, you know, Matthew 15, you know what Paul says there in Colossians and elsewhere, the Lord Jesus taught the same thing in Matthew 15 when he was addressing the scribes and Pharisees. He said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Rather than, because that's exactly what the Pharisees had done. They had added and they had taken away from the word of God.
So actually, legalism is imposing things upon people in worship which the word of God has not.
Exactly.
That is what we should be doing in worship, glorifying him the way that he desires to be.
Right.
Wes,
on.
When are your worship service times?
Our worship services are at 9:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays. And people can have a look at our website, www.langleycanrc.org.
Thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend.
Well, we need to close out our broadcast here, but we do look forward to joining you next time we get together as we continue our look at God's Word, that we might grow in Christ and be mutually encouraged. This has been Abounding Grace, the ministry extension of United Reformed Church of Linden, with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Copies of what you hear on Abounding Grace are available. You need only call or write to us for the details. Our phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. And as you contact us, remember, we're available on this radio station in part through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us financially and prayerfully, we're able to continue the ministry here on this radio station, encouraging you and others in Christ. Would you prayerfully consider how you might partner with us? We thank you in advance. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, Abounding Grace, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities here at the church, stop by our website, lindenurc.com. Again, lindenurc.com. If you're joining us for worship, we meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Sundays at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Directions are available at lindenurc.com or by calling 360-318-0429. We do thank you for joining us and trust we'll see you again next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.